to another episode of In the Rearview Mirror, a supernatural retrospective. We are your Hunter hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
And we're here to talk about more episodes of Supernatural, giving that good quality review, sticking on the worst season, season 9.
No. I don't know.
We don't know. Not yet, anyway.
We haven't finished rewatching all of them.
No. This week we watched Slumber Party, Dog Dean Afternoon, Heaven Can't Wait, and Bad Boys. So, three of these were fillers. That's why I feel that we watched so many. We've been kind of cutting it down.
Yeah, this was a four episode.
I feel like I do have a lot to say, though. It was kind of this weird in between. I don't know.
I think it's more comments on, like, their narrative and where it's going right now mm-hmm. and how it's working and the whole thing with 8. And, like, we'll get into it with, what is it? Heaven Can't Wait?
Mm-hmm.
Right. We'll get into it with that. But, I mean, I feel like that's why I have things to say.
Yeah. It's a very odd set of episodes. I don't think they're inherently bad.
They're not.
I just think this kind of reminds me of season 5 or season 6. Actually, any of the seasons. Where we get a filler and it has nothing to do with anything. And no offense, I just don't care. So they fall a little short for me. So we forgot to mention last time, too, is the amazing title card of season 9.
Well, it's amazing, but also so sad.
Because the angels, the burnt angel wings.
Yeah.
All the angels are dying. Slowly dying.
That's sad. I mean, most of them are the worst, as we've seen, but still sad.
I don't know. It's just odd. So Slumber Party is the episode with Charlie in Oz. The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. Which I do really love because Charlie's in it. And we do get some brother dynamics, but other than that, I do remember hating this episode a lot more, which is kind of sad because Charlie's in it.
You do?
But I really didn't care for this episode.
I mean, I thought it was fine.
Rewatching it is fine.
Yeah.
But I think, again, this is the episode right after Dean kicks Cass out. And I'm like, what the hell?
Where's my son?
What is going on? There was no reason. They say in this one, Sam asks Dean, you know, where's Cass? What do you mean he just left?
Sam is very confused.
Yeah.
He's like, so he's not here? Why is he not here? That doesn't make any sense. This is the safest place for him.
Yeah.
And where is he?
It does go along with the narrative of why Dean says, I want him here more than anyone. But yet you kicked him out and it doesn't look like you did anything to help him. So it's this weird narrative you were saying last time of they're just shoehorned in to get to where they need to go almost.
Right. Well, we don't know how much Dean helped Cass when he kicked him out yet. So we haven't seen him yet again.
But I'm telling you, there's not much. So that's why it's just kind of, it falls short. I do also love the theory. I saw this once and I keep seeing it. It makes sense. Every time Dean breaks up with someone, Charlie is in the episode immediately after.
That is actually really funny that it's happened like 3 times.
It literally has. We have the episode where Dean decides to, break up with Benny. He tells him he can't be with him and they got to cut ties and all that stuff. The episode immediately after, Charlie's in it. They gossip. Then when Dean has to kill Benny and Benny doesn't come back, the episode immediately after is again Charlie. And now here, Dean has to kick Cass out of the bunker, something he really doesn't want to do. Episode immediately after, Charlie. It's just, I like this theory. It keeps on going. I really enjoy it. And it would make sense because Dean needs that comfort. So I don't know if that was just on accident, but I do really like this theory because
it just keeps popping up.
Yeah, it does. And I like it though because Charlie and Dean always have these bonding moments of just talking with each other and gossiping, and it seems super cute and wholesome. So it would make sense that Dean wants someone to talk to about his problems.
Dean would like to talk to somebody he thinks Charlie's easy to talk to. For him, Charlie's like the third person.
Yeah.
You know, he can't be talking to Sam about stuff. What if what he has to say is about Sam?
Yeah.
He can't talk to Sam about Sam.
But it's also really cute that Dean doesn't want Charlie to hunt either.
Oh my God.
He is so, which is funny to me because Kevin's in it. Kevin's quite younger, but Charlie, no, you're hunting by yourself. What? Huh?
Okay. Well, Kevin isn't technically hunting. He's just, you know, translating a tablet and getting kidnapped and stuff. Charlie going out and looking for ghosts. Both Dean and Sam are like, excuse me?
I know.
You're doing what? Alone?
And, yeah. Which she knows better from the book she read.
I know. I mean, the books say it's a bad idea. I know.
Yeah. I do really like that they go off this thing. And even Sam says, they're still on there? And she's like, yeah, they're on a lovely website called Amazon. And Sam's like, we need to get rid of them. I do also appreciate, we are Charlie. Charlie's saying, I could take them down, but why would I take them down? I want other people to read this.
But, you know, why?
And then she says that Becky Winchester, was it like 176?
176, yeah.
Something yeah, like something posted them, and we're like, Becky. Oh, Becky. Sam looks very shook, shaken.
Do you guys know Becky? No, don't. I've never known a person or her, no.
Okay, also, I do think it's funny, though, because we were talking about how far the book's been published up to, and we know they were published up until season 7 with the weird witch episode with husband and wife, who was Cordelia and Spike from Buffy. So
that's only Shut up, Dr. Phil.
Yeah, that one. And that was episode 4, we found out. And season 7, Time for a Wedding, where Becky gets married to Sam, was episode 10, I think.
Seven or 10, I don't remember.
It was very not that far after. So I wondered how far the books were published, because Charlie wouldn't be that dumb to say, what, you don't know a Becky? Obviously, it is Becky Winchester. Makes sense. But I do like Charlie can be kind of nerds with the boys, even though Dean was going to rank Game of Thrones and sit down and finally gets to nerd out and do all these fun things with them. You can sit and just watch. Also, was Joffrey in the first season of Game of Thrones?
I don't know. Probably.
I don't remember. Because I wasn't until he didn't really become pertinent until, what, season 3, season 4, right?
3 or 4.
I didn't watch Game of Thrones, but I know vaguely some stuff.
We binged seasons like 1 through 4, and then I think we watched 5 maybe, and then we stopped watching. It was like a group thing. You friends would get together and watch it, and then we stopped hanging out to watch it, and so then we didn't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, none of us had HBO except for like one of our friends. We're like, I'm not paying for that.
I also love that Charlie does call out Sam about the bed and not calling this place home, because Dean gets very, I think he's taking it personal.
I'm trying to make this house a home, Sammy. Yeah,
seriously.
I cannot believe.
Well, even Charlie's like just kind of sitting there like, I've read the books. You've never had a home. What? This is perfect. It's the Batcave. Why would you not want to stay here? I don't understand.
And I mean, Sam does explain to Dean. He's just like, I mean, dude, I never had a home. Like, I've never, like, every time I've tried to make a home, it hasn't really worked out.
Yeah.
So I'm not getting attached.
And I do really like this. This is funny because in the weird flashbacks we have for the people going to Oz, they even said that this bunker is the beacon of light, the middle of everything, the eye of the storm, all of that, all
the
this perfect
place,
the place to be in. And I do like that when they show this and then Sam's sitting here going, I don't really want to be here, whatever, this is just temporary. And Dean's kind of sitting here thinking he's going to die in here probably, or this is going to be the last place. And
He gets his own room. He's excited.
Yeah, he puts all his stuff in there. When they're looking for the keys later, he's like, yeah, I have this in my room. And you even said, Sierra, that he just had boxes and boxes and boxes of empty boxes, it looked like.
Stuff is just like, I like this box, which is me AF. I love boxes. And so he's like, this is a cool box. I'm taking it. But like, Dean, that has something in it that might be important. Leave it where you found it. Sam will catalog it later and you'll learn what it is. Oh, my God.
Like, he's just going through the stuff being like, I want this.
That's cool. I'm going to keep it. It's a little trinket. Like, Dean, no, nothing in here is a trinket. Oh, my God.
What are you not decorating his room? All I can think of is
put a cursed lamp or something in there.
The episode of Buffy we just watched.
Yeah.
Where they put like the hoodoo mask up and it was like raising the dead. And it's like, maybe we shouldn't hang this up in our house.
Literally. That's what's going to happen to these boys.
Yeah, they're going to hang it up and be like, oh, I didn't mean to do that.
Be like, the new vase I put up? Oh, I just thought it was a vase.
I didn't know it was ancient.
Egyptian cursed?
Yeah.
Oh, that's absolutely... Is that an episode of Supernatural?
I was like, probably.
I don't remember, but if it's not, I'm going to be mad because, wow, what wasted opportunity there. Mm-hmm. Like when you're running out of money because it's just in the bunker. Confine it to a couple rooms.
And Dean likes keeping it personal about keeping his kitchen clean. And when that witch messes it up, he's very unhappy.
I saw we were panning and I'm like, oh, Dean's going to be pissed.
So can we just clean the kitchen? I'm like, oh my gosh. I love that Dean, you would think that he'd be a slob and he's not. And I absolutely love it. But it does make sense because when has his car ever been dirty? It makes sense that all his stuff isn't dirty. Yes, he's lived in motel rooms that may be grimy and he's had to live in not so suitable conditions. Mm-hmm. But if he were to choose, he's not living in filth.
Well, he's proud of his baby, mm-hmm. and he's proud of the bunker. Mm-hmm. These are his spaces. They're his. He mm-hmm. doesn't really have a lot of, you know, things. Mm-hmm. So these two things are his, and he's happy to have them, and he wants to take care of them and make them nice. And so when some evil, dumb, wicked witch comes in and destroys his freaking kitchen, he gets upset.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I would be upset.
You would be so... She's very much a Virgo. She's big into, like, kitchen organization, and every time someone's like, what is this crumb? Why is this pot here? Why is this not in the right cabinet? And you're like, all right, I'm sorry.
Everything has a place. Everything has a home. It lives in its home. It should not be moved.
Relax.
Yeah. No.
She can't.
No.
It's ingrained in her. She will not.
I also forgot a lot about this episode. Like that Charlie dies.
Yeah.
She comes back, obviously. I feel like I would be a lot more upset if Charlie were to die. So it's funny to me because you said something, Sierra. Mm-hmm. Like, do you not remember this episode?
Yeah, I was like... Oh, yeah.
No.
Well, I was like,
wait, is she actually dead? And Dean's like, Charlie. Also, this is kind of this pet peeve of mine, I think, that it's just that for whatever reason, Jensen's acting here wasn't as good as I thought it would be.
Enough for Charlie?
Yes, because we know she's actually not dead, and Jensen knows that. I think it's hard for him to be like super emotional. Also, the scene is not set up that way. There's not long shots of her just being dead. It's not cuts. It's not sad music. It's not set up to be this is her end, if that kind of makes sense.
Right.
And so when they bring her back to life, obviously it's not very long. We're not waiting a few episodes to bring her back to life. It's in the next 2 minutes. So for me, it was a little interesting knowing that she comes back and being like, I feel like I would have known that kind of regardless. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Because also Ezekiel just brought Cass back the last episode.
Mm-hmm. And Dean is immediately just like, okay, this is an emergency, but it's not an emergency. Zeke, hello? And he, you know, comes in the door, eep.
Well, and we do see him kind of panic. He is like, Charlie.
He does.
And then Sam comes running in, and Dean immediately looks at him and just says, Zeke. And he does seem panicked and very upset because, of course, Dean Winchester blames himself for everything.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So he blames himself for bringing Charlie into this mess, for Charlie getting hurt, for Charlie also taking the bullet for him, literally.
Wait.
She jumped in front of him.
She did, absolutely, because she's an icon and I love her to death.
Yeah, so he would feel...
Oh, that'd be really bad
horrible.
If she died here.
Yeah.
That would be really bad.
Horrible, horrible. That's why it's really interesting when Zeke says, I'm going to be in Sam's body longer if I do this. This isn't... Like, Cass was a miracle kind of thing. So it's going to really drain me here. So either I can kill the witch and save us from this issue, or I can bring your friend back. And he's like... No hesitation. Bring Charlie back.
No question.
Bring her back.
There's no question.
And to me, it's interesting because not only is that putting Sam in danger, so mm-hmm. Zeke's kind of sitting in this weird thing of, oh, it's always about Sam. He just kicked Cass out of the bunker. Mm-hmm. And kind of no questions asked, almost. You know what I mean? He did try to say, Cass can stay, but he wasn't just, dude, no, we'll work something else on this. He immediately told Cass he had to leave. And obviously didn't seem... That it was a big explanation.
I want to get into that when we talk about 9-6.
Well, no. I'm just saying that it is interesting for Zeke's point of view to see Dean almost put Sam's life in jeopardy when it seems that Sam was always number one for Charlie.
I guess, but I don't really think Zeke made it sound like, yeah, Sam might actually die if I heal her.
Oh, no. I'm just saying I think it's just interesting noted that.
Right, maybe. But he was just like, I'll have to be in Sam longer. And he's like, heal her. Right.
Yeah. And I think, too, Zeke is realizing how he's messed up because now he's doing all this stuff for Dean. And how many times can he actually be doing this, too?
I mean, true.
Zeke doesn't want to be in Sam's body forever, too.
No, he does not.
So, I just want to say something because there was something of a long discussion we kind of had about Charlie's little near-death experience, about her dying and Dorothy saying, you went to heaven, that was your heaven. I was going to say hell loop. Your heaven loop. It was your hell loop. Being with your family on Christmas. Oh, so horrible.
That's your hell loop.
It really is. But... I just wanted to note that because we had a conversation about this because of what happened with Metatron. There is something that happens later with the gates of heaven that make us believe some things, and we don't know when something happens, and we also don't know how true it is. That was very vague. But.
Something happens later. We're not sure if it already happened, and so Dorothy saying that Charlie went to heaven becomes questionable.
Yes, in the canon. It's right. About the gates of heaven.
It's about the canon and the gates of heaven and Charlie waking up saying Merry Christmas.
Oh, I guess we want to know. I guess we can just say that. I guess I want to know if Metatron shut the gates of heaven also with the spell that casted out the angels. And if he did, when was it? Mm-hmm. That's my question.
It's a question.
We don't know right now.
I'm sure it's lodged in our noggins, but we don't remember.
There's a lot. And there's a lot.
Sticking on canon for a second, I love the poppy bullets they come up with to kill this witch.
Oh, yeah.
They find. I love when they add new... They're like, just dip a bullet in, like, lamb's blood and it kills, like, a djinn or something. Like, dip a silver bullet. Actually, would that work? Dip a silver bullet in, like, probably. Lamb's blood? Because it's a silver blade dipped in lamb's blood, right?
Maybe. Maybe it has to be a blade.
Did I just come up with a new way to kill a djinn? You're welcome.
I don't know.
I don't know. I love they're like, yeah, just carve a symbol into it or just dip it in something or make them out of something. And the bullet kills this creature now. Like, that's great. I love when they do that.
It's a hit or miss. I like when it's good and they do it. Like, but Supernatural is notorious of adding bad shit to the canon.
I think the bullet thing is fun.
That was good. There's other things I don't like.
Okay, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the cool things they come up with, like bullets.
Anyway, let's talk about Sam and Dean. So I really enjoyed that Sam is now getting very sus of Dean after the who's Zeke. I know what's going on, and Dean's like, please, we can't talk about this right now. We have bigger fish to fry. I will tell you, I didn't say Zeke. I said, sup?
Huh? What? You're tired.
You're seriously. Healing. Sam is
Dean's excuse for everything. Nervous. You're delirious. I don't know. You're tired. Sam's like, I'm not tired. He's like, you're so tired. You're exhausted.
Yeah. But even Charlie is on the sus because she knows that she died. She's like, dude, what? How did you bring me back to life? And he's like, shush, shush,
shush, shush. He's like, oh my God, shush, shush, shush.
I didn't do anything. It's fine. She's like, am I a zombie?
I love her.
No, you're fine. Just,
you're you. Ugh.
Yeah.
She's very mad. She's like, I cannot believe you're making me keep a secret.
I know. I do want to mention the last thing really about this episode that I found interesting again, because Dean Winchester and abandonment issues. When Charlie goes to Oz, Dean is honestly upset.
Oh, yeah.
Because now he can't just reach call her. I know. That was so funny. Because Sam was like, oh, yeah, that's cute. Like, she's going on her mystical adventure that she really wanted to go to. And Dean is just so upset. He does not want Charlie to leave. He does not want Charlie hunting. He wants her in the bunker.
Right. He wants all people he just keep and just put them in the bunker.
They're like, you can't leave.
Beep. You're trapped.
They're like, staying. But no, I want to leave. And he's like, no, you can't leave.
Trapped.
You're stuck here. You're forever. Sorry.
Didn't Dean say, like, do you think she'll come back?
Was that Dean? I think so, yeah.
He's like, do you think she'll come back? And yeah, because then same answer thing. He's like, yeah, you know, she'll come back.
Yeah, and Dean's like, okay.
Yeah, she'll come back. Yeah, he's you say so. I'm excited for Charlie. She gets to go to Oz and hang out with her new girlfriend, Dorothy, while they, you know, fix Oz, the dimension or world or whatever.
Adventures and whatnot.
The adventures she's looking for. Yep. Magical yellow brick road, flying monkeys, you know, all that.
Mm-hmm. Super excited for her.
Super excited for her.
Next episode is Dog Dean Afternoon. We both thought this episode was in season 10.
I really did. I don't know why. I'm just like, yeah, well, I mean, there's no context for any season.
Yeah, this is just the epitome of a filler. What else happens in this that could show you what season this is in?
Sam gets scratched and then he, like, Zeke, you know, heals him. And the guy is like, what are you? I'm going to eat you. Just so strange.
Okay, other than that.
Well, there's only one hint. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, could you put this in any season and be like, yeah, that makes sense. That's the only thing that happens.
Really? This episode is just funny. I love that Dean is a dog. We get fun, iconic lines of, you know who wears sunglasses inside? Blind people and douchebags. And I told this to Sierra because this had happened to Jensen when he was in the airport. He was wearing sunglasses inside and some rando dude came up to him and goes, you know who wears sunglasses inside? Blind people and douchebags. And I'm pretty sure Jensen Ackles took psychic damage from that because I know I sure would have.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely did.
I know coming up to you in the airport. Just being like,
instead of being like, oh, I'm a big fan, man, he's just like, you know, wear sunglasses inside, douchebags, and walks away. No other comment. Like,
and he, well, I'm sure he probably doesn't remember the line very well. And so he's like, what? He's like, I definitely said that. that makes sense. Or by just the context, be like, yeah, I'm a big fan. You know, you said that. And Jensen's like, did you just call me a douchebag?
No context. Just comes up, says that. Could be either. Because, you know, in what episode was it? The changing channels. And they're wearing the sunglasses at night.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They weren't inside, but it was at night.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't good, but that was pretty funny you told me that.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was funny. The whole Dean being a dog was honestly, it was so cute. It was so funny. We were dying so much when he's talking to the dog, trying to get information, and Sam's throwing his wrappers, and Dean just picks it up. And Sam's like, dude, I want this.
Oh my God, it was so funny because it was so smooth. They did it great. It was just, and then Dean's like, yeah, anyway, he keeps talking and then brings it back to Sam. Sam picks up, he's like, I don't want this.
Hey, but Dean and the dog are having a conversation.
He's like, oh my God, shut up. And then Sam throws it right away.
And then he's like, here you go. He's like, dude, what are you doing?
He was like, huh?
He's like, what do you mean what I'm doing? He's like itching. He doesn't know what's going on. Sam's like, this ball worked a little too well.
I think it worked.
I do love, I feel like I quote this line a lot, and it's only Dean yelling you at the mailman.
Yeah.
What? Because that's me. Anytime anyone comes by my front door, I'm like, hey, you.
Oh my God.
You. Hey, you. Who are you? It's just so funny.
Oh my God. Like, she's like, who's that guy? By our trash. I'm like, I don't know, man. Maybe the trash man? The garbage man? She's like, nah, I don't know. It's sus. It's sus. I don't like it. I'm like, dude. And like, we're in a corner. So a lot of people like walk around us. And she's always just like, who's that there? I'm like, dude, he's got a dog. I don't worry about it. They're just walking the dog. Like, my mom would do this. She's like, oh, who's there? What's that? I'm like, I don't know. People existing outside of our home?
I'm just not used to people being so close to my house. No one walked by my old house ever.
Like three people, but one lady with the two dogs would walk in the literal middle of the night.
It wasn't outside my window. It wasn't like 2 feet outside my window. It was like 20 feet outside my window.
It's not even that close. It's like 6 feet from the window. That's not close. Doesn't matter. They're not looking into your window. They're just walking by, minding their own business.
I don't know. They're looking inside my house.
And you're like, who are you? Who? Why you? You. Literally, you. It's terrible. Did you hear that? Who's that?
Also, I am also Dean yelling at pigeons.
Oh my God! So he almost shot that pigeon. Was so funny.
Who you calling douchebag? Douchebag? That was my all these lines are so funny. Like, that pigeon. You just called me a douchebag. That pigeon just called me a douchebag.
Dean leaning out the window when they're driving. Oh my God!
All of it was so funny. Although I do respect that one dog, who I think is the voice actor. I have to look this up now because they said him, and I was like, oh, it kind of sounds like an older woman. And then immediately the dog started talking, who wanted the belly rubs, started talking. And I was like, oh, it's that one actor.
Now that you say that,
I know exactly who I'm talking about, right?
Is this? Yeah.
Oh. Leslie Jordan.
Yeah.
Can you appreciate that I'm currently looking at IMDb and the highest paid actors on this episode of Supernatural were Jared Padalecki, Jensen Ackles, and then Leslie Jordan. The dude is making a great living.
He's killing it. Only had to do a little voice work.
I mean, to be fair, it'd be kind of funny to be like, you want me to do what? I like that. I like this. It's a good idea. This dog's like, no, I don't want a belly rub from you. I want a big one. I want a belly rub for the big one. And then I don't know why Sam was so unhappy to give this dog a belly rub.
It's like, a puppy.
I'd be like, oh, scritches.
You like your scritches?
And then he's like, oh, my hand's cramping. I'm like, oh, no, you just switch hands. Duh. Have you never had a dog before, Sam?
This man, first of all, we know he has had a dog before.
He's had multiple dogs before.
He's had like two dogs so far. First of all. And then second of all, Sam, like, you've wrestled like werewolves and stuff and like decapitated vampires and various other monsters, and you're getting hand cramps from giving a belly rub
to a dog,
to a little baby Yorkie.
Also, the dog wasn't getting amazing belly rubs from Sam. They were like weird scritches that I was like, that's not good. That's just getting the surface. You want to get those nice belly rubs.
Give
a nice pupper massage.
You are Lucifer's true vessel. Are you serious?
I don't know. Nothing really else happened in this episode.
Dean gave better scritches than him. And Dean never wants a dog. He's like, dogs are dirty. Look, get in my car.
Yeah, like, what was his name? I was going to say Chief. The Colonel, right? That's the colonel, yeah. He's like, yeah, I puked in your car on accident. I just didn't want to tell you. And Dean's like, I'm going to kill you.
I'm just remembering when they pull up after Dean had his head out the window. And Sam's like, we'll just leave the dog in the car. She's like, what? Sam's like, I mean, the windows are down. Dean's like, you think we like that?
Sam's, oh, yeah, yeah.
We?
Dean.
We? It's like, he's coming in. It's ridiculous. Okay. Colonel's like, respect. Oh, my God. This episode was kind of a mess.
Yes, it definitely was a mess. I feel like nothing else is really going on. Sam's just getting more sus about something is in his body. Also, I do feel... Oh, I just thought of something. I really feel bad for Sam because you have this random guy saying, what are you? Again, when Sam's like, I'm just human. What do you mean, what am I? I'm a freak again. What do you mean?
And, old freak trauma coming back.
Yeah, and he's like, what's wrong? And Dean's like, nothing's wrong.
You're fine. Bye. What are you talking about?
Let's stop going on hunts.
And this guy eats kangaroo hearts and you're like, what's wrong with you? I don't think so. You're fine.
So in the end, everything's said and done. They killed him, blah, blah, blah. And I think Sam's kind of feeling bad for the dude because he had cancer and just wanted to live. He was hurting animals and then killed people, but, like, you know, yeah, it happens. And Dean says something of, you know, he was possessed. He went crazy and everything just took over. And that's what happens when you're a monster that way. Everything is just, the crazy takes over. And in that moment of Dean saying that, I think he self-realizes that's exactly what he's doing with Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
That the crazy took over for him worrying about Sam, and now the crazy has taken over, Dean. You allowed an angel to go inside your brother.
Now, Sam is possessed by something he can't control, and it seems to be only a matter of time before it completely takes him over.
Yep.
And that will be your fault.
Yep.
Consequences.
That killed me. I think both of us were like, ugh!
Like, ooh, ooh.
Like, ooh, self-burn.
Hit the nail on the head right there. Oh, no.
Yeah. Moving on to Heaven Can't Wait. This is the episode where we get Cass back. Dean goes Cass to back. See Cass. Yay. After he wants to get out of research because Kevin can't translate this Emekic language. I don't remember what the language was called. It started with an E, though. You're looking at me like you have no idea also.
I know what you're saying, but I didn't write the proto whatever language
whatever
down.
The language is.
I believe Kevin. It's fine.
I do believe they can translate it, which they do have a very smart idea. But Dean's like, I don't want to do research. I'm tired. I'm going to go see my friend Cass, who has called me for a case, and I'm going to go see him now.
No,
and
hi.
It's going to be great.
Just case talk.
Well, yeah, because doesn't Cass get right into it?
Yeah, he just calls and is just like, great, there's this case. I thought you might be interested. Dean's like, hi to you too, Cass.
I know. And I was like, ooh, trouble in paradise. Well, yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, Dean's like, well, it's a case. Might as well check it out. So, you know, Dean immediately goes to check out Cass. I mean the case. And it just goes on from there.
I do love and hate that Cass is working at a gas station as Steve.
He likes working at the Gas and Sip, okay?
It's cute. And I love this part that Cass goes through and this part that he plays. But also it's sad because I know he's alone.
What's
and
awful.
It's sad.
And he's salty at Dean.
Oh, yeah, he totally is.
And he stands up for himself, and I'm proud of him. I'm so proud of him. He's like, do you have any idea how hard it was? I didn't just lose my powers. I had nothing.
Yeah, I think that's huge. Because Cass did. He fell. And Dean even said, that's the thing I think that pisses me off, is Dean knew right away that Cass would need help because he's new and human. He has to eat, he has to drink, he has to sleep. And Cass being Cass saying, oh, it's fine. But now Cass is asking kind of for help, and Dean's like, you said you were fine, brah.
And this is the part that I cannot excuse. This is the part that pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because when Dean had to kick Cass out of the bunker, what he should have immediately done is called Jody and be like, Cass is coming to stay with you, bud. Mm-hmm. And then pack a nice bag for Cass, all the stuff he needs, give him a credit card, give him a phone, get him set with essentials, be like, Jody's going to look after you. I'll explain everything later. I can't right now, but just trust me. And Cass would say, okay. Why? Because he trusts Dean.
Yeah. The rest of this is horrible.
Oh, this is really upsetting to me. This episode is very upsetting.
What is Cass supposed to act like, too?
Jilted lover.
Yeah. That was my favorite thing, I think, all of this. I'm like, yeah, he is jilted. Yeah. He's a jilted lover. Absolutely. His boyfriend kicked him out of his new home.
Absolutely. I mean, seriously, like, the one person he trusts in the whole world was like, yeah, so you gotta go. Which, oh my God, makes me like unhinged, because this is literally the start of Cass believing he is, Dean doesn't want him unless he can be useful, unless he has his powers. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, he pretty much does say when Dean's like, so we're going on the case, right? You and me checking it out. Mm-hmm. Cass is like, why? I wouldn't even be useful to you. I have no powers. Dean, because he's stupid, is like, so I don't have any powers, because they miscommunicate here. Dean's like, I would like your company and help solving this case.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, because Cass even says to Dean, last time I was hunting, you said I sucked. And Dean's just sitting here kind of like, I didn't really mean that. Like, yeah, you were in training. It's fine. You were a hunter in training. It's fine. So Cass is taking all this very seriously of, oh, I can't learn. And it does make sense because he was an angel.
Right.
And angels don't really need to learn anything.
They just know.
They just know. So, and Dean being Dean is just... That's how he's just like, yeah, I suck. You suck. I hate you.
It was just some but light.
That's not really what I mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was just some light inner office jib. You know, it didn't really mean anything. But Cass, everything Dean says to and about Cass, he takes to heart, obviously, because too much heart is always Castiel's problem. And so Cass is still super upset about that. And I mean, he would feel like he has no place. I mean, Dean kicked him out. He became human. Dean knew this. Dean knew he was at his most vulnerable and supposedly didn't care and then kicked him out with nothing. So, you know what? If I were Cass, I'd believe that Dean wouldn't want to hang out with me unless I had my cool angel powers, too.
I also find it interesting, too, because Cass, even though working at the gas station as, you know, us humans, maybe isn't the best job.
Not glamorous.
Yeah, it's nothing. But Cass really takes it seriously. Like, yeah. I stock, I do this, I clean, I come in and I open. I've been given responsibilities. Like, this is a big deal for him. And so Dean's coming in just shitting on his job, saying, like, it's pointless. Anyone can do it and everything. And obviously Dean knows this, but Cass is so proud of it that he was able to get this job, that Nora, his coworker, likes him. Because earlier Nora said that he is special and he's one of a kind. So Cass thinks that. And so Dean's coming in, his favorite person in the entire world, and is just shitting on him all the time. First you kicked me out, now you're shitting on my job. Make up your mind.
What do you want from me? Why are you here?
Do you want me? You don't want me back. You're not telling me to get back. You're just asking me how I am. Obviously, I'm crap.
I'm doing shit, Dean. How are you?
I live in the back of my work. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling. I work at this gas station. Like, nothing is good. And then, you know, we have the beginning. I think it was the beginning when Nora asked Cass out. So he's thinking, like, look, I got a date. Like, I can do this. It. I didn't need no help from the righteous man. Like, screw you.
I'm upset. Dean should have just scooped him up, physically scooped him up, put him in the Impala and driven him home.
Well, and also I thought it was odd, though, after all of this in the end, that Cass is kind of trying to, I almost want to say, test Dean to see if he would be willing to bring Cass back in his life. Because Cass said, look, we did this thing. I could go back to hunting with you. Like, I could help you. Look, I'm useful. We could do this again. But Cass just kind of went off on Dean earlier, you know, to say, look, I'm a big boy. I have a job. I got a date. Like, I did all this without you. I'm human. I'm living my best human life. And Dean's kind of sitting here going, he could get out. So I want him to do that. Right. So he, Cass, even though... Because both of them are not going to say it. Both of them are not just going to outright and say, hey, Cass, I want you back. And Cass is not going to say, I don't want to do this. I want to live with you guys in the bunker. I want to help you guys because you're my friends. I don't want to do this. Neither of them are going to say this.
They're so
both
stupid.
Of them are thinking, Cass is thinking, Dean doesn't want me because I'm no longer useful. And Dean is thinking, oh my gosh, he's out. He's happy that he's out. Look what he's doing.
He's better off without me.
And he's better off without me.
God, these people are so stupid.
I know. So stupid. It's just this weird cycle. And that made me angry that Dean didn't bring Cass back after. But in my mind, it does kind of make sense.
No, it does make sense. Dean not bringing him back at this time does make sense. I hate it.
Yeah.
And that's not what is so upsetting. It's literally the kicking out and not helping him. That's what I'm just like, how would this be Dean? Dean doing that to me is ridiculous and unrealistic. Mm-hmm.
I just think it's interesting that after they had this bonding moment with the, what is it, the angel? The Rizavane?
The...
Ritazin, whatever that.
Something like that. I wrote it down like phonetically. It was like Ritazin.
I think it was Ritazin.
Ritazin. It was like Ritazin. Like,
yeah.
That.
Rosian. Oh, maybe it was Rosie. I don't remember. Anyway, the stupid angel that feeds off of the people's pains. Right. Like, LOL, first of all. But I do find it interesting that, you know, Cass tells Dean that he's scared because he's never been more scared in his life. And it's really hard. And he does explain that I've been on Earth for years and I can barely even grasp any sort of
just
emotion.
Getting there.
Yeah.
Being human himself.
So now all these angels are down here. And it makes sense. And Cass does explain finally that a lot of these angels have not been on Earth in millennia.
Right. If at all.
Yeah. So they're so confused and have no idea what's going on. So after this talk, it also is funny to me that Dean thinks that Cass wants to be alone with like his feelings and his despair. I think it's interesting.
Well, I mean, he doesn't really leave him alone.
What do you mean?
Well, after this, they, like, hang out until he's got to drop him off.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting, yeah.
Which I can't believe it doesn't seem that Dean explained the whole Zeke thing to Cass, which you would think he would in the ample amount of time he's been going to this case. Well, when school gets out at, like, 2 in the afternoon, and then, like, the date at, like, 7 or something.
Yeah, and then after, too. That also pisses me off. Interesting. We're just going to say before, also, I feel so bad for Cass because, Nora, you never asked him to babysit. You said, hey, it's hard for me to meet new guys. Would you like to swing by my place at 8?
Yeah, I...
What?
I genuinely, I was like, if I were Cass, I would think that was a date.
Yeah, seriously.
The way she worded that was terrible.
Well, and then I remember going, kind of thinking back, what she said about the babysitter. And she just said something, oh, it's so hard to find a good sitter nowadays or something. I'm like, okay, but that was I don't know. It was odd. But I do like that Nora, the one thing, hate Nora, but also I love Nora. Because she really, I think, builds Cass' confidence by saying, you know, he's special.
Yeah.
And then later on when Cass, you know, freaks out to go to the hospital with the baby, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But to me, what she says of, you know, that part that made you worry, even though it was literally nothing. That is what is special about you. And that's the key thing that a lot of people want, but no one really has. Mm-hmm. That really deep-seated caring and fear and just, I don't even know how to explain it. The caringness of it.
Would you consider saying that it's having too much heart?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, yeah. It is that, yeah, that heart.
Mm-hmm.
Too much heart was always Castiel's problem. And that makes sense. Because, yeah, he doesn't know about the baby, but he literally... In Nora's eyes, you're thinking, I call this guy the babysitter. My kid's a little warm and he is freaking out. He's calling me 7 times and he's going to take her to the hospital. And then he's so worried. He calls his friend and his friend's like, dude, just give her
some baby Tylenol. Like,
seriously, it's
not
hard.
A big deal.
And then the fever goes down. Like, it's not a big deal. And she's like, he's a good guy. He has good heart. Yeah.
Maybe you should date him, Nora.
I know, seriously. Well, that's why I thought she was going to say something after, and I was like, what are you doing? But she knows. She's like, that's Cass's boyfriend. I'm not getting in the way.
Smart, yeah. She's like, not getting... Whatever's going on there, I'm not getting in the middle of it.
To be fair, too, could you imagine just Dean being at the gas station, she's like looking like, what is going on? And like they're in this heated argument, and then all of a sudden... He calls him and pulls up in the Impala and drops him off on this baby. You know what I mean? And picks him up. And it's just funny. It would make sense. Maybe they just broke up. Mm-hmm. They had a house and now he's living in the back of the gas station.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Also, oh, my God. I'm so mad. I'm like, how does that not come up?
Yeah.
How does that not come up? And how does Dean not immediately rectify that and be like, oh, absolutely not. Here's my card. You're staying here now. Like... It's just so many things. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. I get like doing stuff for the drama of it all, but this literally is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Shoehorning. And I don't think Dean truly understands what his actions have done to Cass, especially with him dealing with human emotions now. I mean, the Ephraim, that's his name. I'm not going to say what he is because I can't say it right.
Yeah.
Ephraim, he comes and he's like, dude, I'm here for you. Because Cass thinks he's here for the baby.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. He's here for you. He's like, man, I can hear your suffering for miles. Your despair. You are suffering, brother. I'm here to help you.
I'm here to kill you.
Yeah. Cass is so upset about everything that has happened right now that one of his angel brothers, who's meant to kill people on the battlefield if they are a lost cause, is here to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad his suffering is. Cannot overstate how upset Cass is right now. I hate it. This really is the season where I have beef with Dean. Even though I know now, in retrospect, it is the writing. It is not Dean as the character, because this doesn't make any sense. But I honestly held a grudge for a good couple of seasons. I was like, Dean, I just don't trust you. Because then intermittently, they would write Dean poorly. And I'd be like, back on your shit again, Winchester.
Yeah. To be fair, it's very heartbreaking, because I've always liked Dean a lot. He's my favorite character. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's not him, and you don't understand his choices and why he's making them. Mm-hmm. So I just, it was really hard to watch and say, I don't understand why you're making these choices. I don't honestly see why you're making these choices or why you're not doing this. And it's because the writers just wanted to do it this way.
Guarantee Jensen was upset about these.
Yeah, I bet he was.
Episodes. It's like, right, but where do I explain to Cass why I kicked him out, even though I want him with me 24/7 at all times forever? And they're like, oh, you don't. He's, huh? We're just not going to mention anything and just going to let him suffer? They're like, uh-huh. Next page.
During all of this, too, the last thing Dean really talks to Cass about is that he apologizes to Cass about kicking him out. And Cass doesn't really forgive him.
Smart.
He's just kind of like, whatever, I guess. We'll talk about it some more. Maybe you'll tell me the reason before. But at this point, I'm pissed. Which... rightfully so.
Yeah, and he should be, because Dean, for some reason, doesn't give him... This would have been the perfect opportunity to give him an explanation of why he's not at the bunker right now. The safest place for him. His home.
The thing is, too, Dean could have just said, Cass, I have to explain later. Please, I'm asking you to trust me. Mm-hmm. You know, you asked me to trust you all those years ago, but then, see, I think Cass would have just maybe still been pissed. Maybe that's why Dean didn't. But at the same time, he could have just said, please just trust me. I will explain everything later. I just can't right now. There's so much going on and I'm worried about everything. So please just trust me. And I think Cass maybe would have just said, okay. Yeah. I don't think he still would have forgiven him for doing this and how he acted, but I think he could have moved on from it and they could move on from where they're going and headed to a better relationship.
Right. Cause he still at this point is, I'm sure, convinced that Dean doesn't really want him. I mean,
yeah.
Dean didn't even seem to want him, like, his help on the hunt.
Yeah, I know.
Which also doesn't make any sense, because every time he sees Cass after a while, he's just like, oh, we're going to be besties.
Yeah.
And we're gonna hang out this whole time. We're going to solve these cases, and it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't do that, so Cass is like, oh, I guess he's only here because I can be of use to him, mm-hmm. because he knew about what was going on with the angels. He knew. Or, mm-hmm. He knew about the case, I should say.
Well, this is all going on. Sam, Kevin, and Crowley are trying to translate all this stuff. I thought it was a good idea, even though Dean seemed to say, maybe we shouldn't do this. But it was a smart idea, because he could read it. I did also love that Crowley just going off on them, like, I want a phone call. Jeffrey Dahmer got a phone call. I want a phone call. That's not fair.
Doesn't count. No phone call for you, Crowley.
No. Even that he's put on hold. I enjoyed that. Him contacting Amazon.
Your king.
Yeah, all of this. And this is just proving the point that Abaddon is growing more into power, that he's losing his hold. No one really cares that he's the king anymore. And mm-hmm. Abaddon is taking all the souls that he made deals with. And
yep.
Yeah. The thing is, this is why I do like Crowley. Because after this whole phone call debacle, he does keep his word and does translate it. And that was the one thing of, I'm the man of my word. I don't break deals. That's why I did these contracts. I don't believe in that. I don't think that's fair. While Abaddon is chaotic, Crowley is the straight and narrow. He's very, we got to do it this way, or no, that's not it. We shouldn't do this a different way.
Right. There needs to be order.
Yeah, and I think he's upset because everything was working fine. Everyone seemed to be working fine. Everything was fine. Mm-hmm. And then she's just bringing in chaos, and everything's just going to hell, literally. Really, all we get from the translations is just that the angels can't go back to heaven. That's kind of about it.
Spell's permanent. Can't undo it.
Yeah. And the real, I think, not reasoning behind this too, but at the very end when Sam's putting away the stuff and everything and he sees one of the syringes is missing and he goes to kind of get it from Crowley because I think he's thinking, oh my God, he's betraying me. He's going to go do something. But then Crowley takes the blood. I did have a question. I'm assuming this is supposed to be Sam's blood. Mm-hmm. But he pulled out an empty syringe, so I was like, it's a little weird. Does he have leftover blood? Were they just taking a lot of blood and that was the leftover? I don't know. Was it supposed to be Kevin's? Because Kevin took it, really, and I don't know. It was just very odd, but obviously he wants human's blood. makes sense. I mean, maybe you could just say Kevin's pure too. So maybe that would be the reason.
Maybe.
Because it needed to be pure blood or whatever they
purified
said.
Blood?
Yeah.
Right.
Purified, pure, like it's the same thing.
Right.
So Crowley is still on this road of, we don't know what he's doing. Last episode is Bad Boys. Mm-hmm. Again, it's just a filler. I liked it better this time watching it. But again, when we were watching originally, I was just, please, come on. What? We got bigger things to do. I'm tired. I don't want to listen to this. We got to go. This is the episode about Dean being at this boy's home, which is funny because I don't ever really remember this episode. I guess I just didn't rewatch it a lot because I just didn't really care. But
I remembered it.
I think it's a good character episode. I do find it a little odd because it makes sense backstory wise for Dean's canon and everything. I always find it a little odd when they add stuff backwards later in the canon, if that kind of makes sense.
No, are you saying that you find it odd that they talk about Dean's childhood now in like season 9?
Yeah, when we've really already kind of like gone over this already.
It's not really relevant.
Not relevant, but I just remember when, because he was, I don't know, it's just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just weird to me sometimes. I think they're adding this now because it's now relevant, and they're trying to go back to this, like, brother drama, and Sam being all butthurt that Dean went off and enjoyed this month by himself and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It was just weird because they showed this flashback and did all this for this reason and not to give more context to the canon, I guess I would say. Does that make sense? We didn't see this flashback for a specific reason other for the drama of the episode.
You're saying it because it wasn't a like the half of this episode's like a flashback and then the other half isn't. And it's only like we're seeing this, but it's not relevant exactly to the case they're working. Is that what you mean?
No, I'm saying that they add this in here to add canon.
Mm-hmm.
But for no other reason than to solve the problems of the cases that they're doing now. Like, this was not brought up any other time. Like, you're telling me in all these years, Dean never mentioned the boys home to Sam? It just seems odd. It just doesn't add up. And then Dean says, oh, what did Dad tell you? Oh, that's what we told you? That I ran away or I was in jail or whatever he said or whatever. He was off on a case hunting or something.
Yeah, and he got lost.
Yeah, you're telling me
John had to go find
Dean
him.
All these years later never said anything of like, you know, that boy's home I was in. Sam's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, maybe it never came up. I don't know.
It just seems odd that they never knew, I guess, the whole thing. Or Sam never brought it up again. Be like, hey, remember that one time you got lost? Or what were you hunting when you got lost that one time? Or blah, 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 or all this. I don't know. It just seemed odd.
Well, it's not going to come up till it comes up. Maybe this is the time it came up. I don't know.
I can't explain it. I don't like how they do it, though. It's like they're just adding now. In my mind, they didn't have a full story of Sam and Dean Winchester. Or if they did, they are now rewriting that story and they're adding this. Does that make sense? If you were to have a character breakdown of Dean Winchester's entire life, they just added this here right now that he was in a boys' home for a month.
Right. They added to the canon now.
You're not understanding what I'm saying.
You didn't like that they brought it. They're bringing this up for some reason now.
No. I'm just saying that they definitely didn't like. This was I guess like, it's not part of the canon though. They just wrote it just to fucking wrote it.
They wrote it just to write it. It didn't.
Like it reminds me of the fucking egg bullshit. Like it's like why have we never heard about this until now? Oh, because it was just made up right now. Like, literally, that's what it is. Even though we see flashbacks, but I'm telling you that not until this moment, mm-hmm. I would have said, if you told me, I don't know, it's just like.
I'm just trying to understand why you just really are just like, I don't know, it just doesn't like make sense to you. And I'm just wondering why, because I personally don't really have a problem with this, except in the way that it kind of conflicts with like after school special, it seems, but.
I guess that's what I'm saying, though. It's just like, okay, so.
It's just a timelining issue, I guess. Because I assume that Dean was like, what, six? I thought he was 16
he
and
was
after
16.
After school special, right?
I think he was.
Right, 16?
17. He was a senior.
This was a senior? Okay, so he was like 17?
Yeah.
All right, then he got out of the boys' home, and then now they're at wherever.
Well, because they leave every few months, though, so you have to remember that a school is like.
Yeah, so they leave all the time. So, I mean,
no,
I think
it's like,
work it in
I
there.
Just, it's like.
Yeah, the Samulet, at least.
No, I swear, I can't explain it, and you're not understanding what I'm saying. It's like, up until this point, he had never been to a boys' home, but you're supposed to believe from this point on, from, like, all the episodes we've seen before, he lives in a boys' home, but, like, they had never mentioned that, because they didn't know it, obviously, in season one, because that wasn't written until now, so how you would write him as a character would be kind of different, you would think.
I see what you're saying, I think. I just think I'm saying I don't agree. Because I don't think it's really different. It's 2 months of his life. He's just disappointed again, and he's back on the road, but he has to look out for Sammy. That was the point of this, like, episode, and that seems to track with Dean's actual character. Like, I didn't really have any problems with this.
Other than that, I think it's kind of interesting that we get to see Dean in a boys' home, you know, a Les Mis story, which I kind of hate.
No.
He's arrested for stealing bread.
Yes, but he doesn't go to...
the same thing.
No, he doesn't go to jail this time.
Yeah, because he's too young. He gets to go
to a nice boys' home.
Yeah, and gets whipped into shape.
I mean, does he...
I don't
know. He seems to have a good time here.
Yeah, I know he does. Also, Dean, I loved him so much when he was with Robin. He had his first kiss at 16, and I was dying because apparently he's had his first beer, not in double digits. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Dean, like, he had a weird life.
He's grown up around hunters. What do you expect?
Yeah, you're not wrong. But I also really wanted to say something about Robin because I thought this, to me, this is always like super heartbreaking too because. When they went to, what is it, Cuss's, right?
Yeah.
And he went there to go see Robin. And she didn't really care. She didn't really want to know. Or it seems that she didn't care and wanted to know.
Right.
And he was all heartbroken.
Seems like, I gotta go.
Really heartbroken.
We're leaving.
And I understand. It's like, oh, your first love, meaning like, oh, what could have been or whatever. And, of course, it's just dumb, like, high school drama that it doesn't matter. Like, you stood me up for the dance. It's like, dude. It's fine. We're well past this. Like, come on, man.
I mean, she wasn't mad about that, I don't think.
No. But I do find it interesting because even when Robin and Dean are talking, Robin almost doesn't trust Dean again or doesn't fully trust him and doesn't, like, accept him as this hunter life anymore now that she knows the full details.
I guess you could say that.
I only bring that up because... every relationship, it seems that Dean has tried with a woman. Cassie gave up on him because she thought he was crazy about the hunting life after he, like, kind of came out saying that he was a hunter and everything.
He came out as a hunter.
Shut up. I didn't know how else to phrase that. It kind of is just being like, look, I'm a hunter. And then she's like, okay, yeah, whatever. Goodbye. And then Lisa almost couldn't accept his relationship with Sam because it was too codependent and, again, had to pick between hunting his brother and this relationship with Lisa. And so I always said, like, she doesn't trust him because, again, Dean picked hunting and Sam, his family, over the girl. And, of course, that's on brand for Dean, but she doesn't forgive him, obviously, because she doesn't know Dean and everything. And I just wanted to bring that point across, that every woman that Dean has ever really loved, it seems, has just kind of betrayed him and abandoned him and not cared. And I just, yeah, I just really wanted to point that out, that it's becoming a routine thing.
I mean,
women in his life disappoint him.
Okay, well, it's not their fault. Cassie, okay, she didn't believe him. That makes sense.
Oh, no. It's not their fault inherently. Right. I'm just saying from Dean's point of view, they all disappoint him.
You mean, I guess they all sort of abandon him.
Yeah. And they all just, like, don't trust him. And then they just don't it makes sense. And I think he understands why. But I think he's like,
try and get the relationship to work.
It reminds me of that whole thing of Sam went to Stanford because he didn't love Dean enough to stay for him. So in my mind, he's like, well, they don't care enough about me to try to care and figure out.
Well, Lisa tried.
Lisa did try, but she said that she couldn't do it, though.
Right.
So in that sense, she tried and then said, I don't love you enough to try to keep working it out because this is too much for me to handle, almost. And that's the thing. I think he's like, yeah, my hunting life is a lot to handle.
I think that's the way he interpreted it.
Well, yeah, it's Dean Winchester.
Right, well, I'm just saying, I'm like, that's probably the way Dean saw it, but really, which is like, Lisa's like, I got a kid to raise. This is insane. I can't do this.
It's not really on the women. I'm just saying that Dean just takes it really personally about everything.
Sure. Even though Dean literally abandoned Robin.
Yeah, no, I know.
Well, and then she's just like,
I'm saying now.
Then she's like, this is kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, I'm saying now.
Yeah.
And that I think he was like, maybe she, like, I think Dean in the back of his mind is just always kind of leaving these feelers out of, oh, maybe, I don't know, one day, you know, in 10 years, if both of us aren't married, we'll get married or something. Some of those cute one romantic. Those. Yeah, you know, he's a romantic at heart, so he would do that. And so I think he's just saying, oh my gosh, there is someone out there who loves me. I don't know. Because he can't go back to Lisa, so maybe he's hoping that Robin could be the person? I don't know. Obviously not.
I think he just wanted Robin to remember him.
I know.
As fondly as he remembers her.
Yeah, I know.
So sweet and wholesome.
The only other really thing I had to say about this episode, I don't know. Like, it was a good episode. I liked it. I liked the ghost idea of it. It's kind of horrific and sad, but it's interesting because roles are being reversed. And this is where the character kind of writing flaws start coming up, because Sam is now super hurt about Dean going off without him or thinking he's, I don't know. I think he's just, oh, you lied to me when I was younger. It's like, yeah, I left for a month and had a life somewhere else with other things. And it was a great time. And I had friends that weren't you. And it seems weird that Sam is getting hurt about this when he did this with Dean with Stanford. And then Sam was telling Dean that he can't be hurt because I got my own life. You know what I mean? Kind of this weird.
Well, he's only upset for like a little bit.
I get it. To me, it seemed he was kind of upset. I think he liked seeing this other side to Dean, but at the same time, I think he never knew Dean, or he never knew the side to Dean, so he maybe doesn't know his brother as well as he thought he did, maybe, is kind of what he's thinking.
Or maybe.
So what other secrets are, is he hiding?
I mean, maybe.
I'm talking about Ezekiel.
Well, I mean,
if he hid this for years, for whatever reason, he didn't tell Robin. You know what I mean? You know Dean's all about his, like, sexcapades, so why didn't he tell Sam about Robin, even though he was, like, 16 and Sam was, like, 12? But I don't know. Why didn't he say anything?
I don't know. I mean,
because in my eyes, you have to think about it. In my eyes, if this is, like, I guess if this was Dean's, like, first kiss, too, you would think he would tell this to Sam. Be like, oh, Sammy, like, oh, you got to do this, or, yeah, but you got to do whatever. Also, when did Sam, didn't he kiss, like, Amy?
I think so.
Wasn't he also, like, was it around the same time Dean got his? They're, like, the same age at that point. How old was Sam? That's what I'm saying. Like,
at four? Yeah, I think he was, like, 14 or something.
How old was Dean?
Like 17 then,
okay,
I think.
So it was a little past. Like, but, like, that's my whole point, is just being, you would think Sam would have heard about it, and so I think Dean not telling him, Sam's wondering, what else is he not telling me? Does he still think I'm untrustworthy after that whole thing at the end of season 8? Does he still think I'm a bad brother? Am I still making up for stuff? Mm-hmm. Like, is he still not trusting me? He still trusts an angel and a vampire over me? All that stuff.
Well, that insecurity, I think, plays into the question that Sam asked Dean. He's like, well, if you were happy here, why did you leave?
Yeah.
If you were thriving here, why would you leave? Why would you come back? I wonder. Mm-hmm. That's kind of such a leading question, Sammy. Like, what do you think the answer is going to be?
Well, and I think that's why...
Oh, I just missed decapitating Vamps too much.
No. That's why I think the leading question was, yeah, you were happy here, but guess what? You're always with me. So, honestly, that seems almost bitchy because... And for the writers to write that, to say, look, it's always going to be the brothers. No matter what, it's always going to be the brothers. And you're kind of just sitting here like, okay, but can we move past this?
It's always going to be the brothers. Cass is going to work at the gas and sip. It's always going to be the brothers.
Seriously.
I didn't like that these episodes are, like, right next to each other.
Yeah. It's a little... There's a lot going on, I feel like.
Again, I feel like it's the shoehorning of, like, brothers forever.
I know.
Cass, occasionally.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Well, at least Sam sort of, I don't know, I guess picked up on Dean coming back for him. And So he was just like, thanks for coming back and hanging out with me. Mm-hmm. Being there for me, whatever he says, something like that. Because Dean was really sad about not getting to go to the school dance.
I mean, yeah, he wanted a normal life. He's a closeted romantic. He wants to do these dumb dances with girls and wanted to do a normal life, and he never got any of that. And I think Dean thought maybe once in his life he could kind of have a normal life, and this would have been the start of it. Honestly, I feel like Dean's life would have gone so differently if he actually gone to the dance and said no to John.
Yeah.
Because then maybe he would have stayed in school. Maybe he would have gone to college and did all this other stuff.
Maybe he would have become a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he tells Robin, that's so cute.
Yeah, I do like that.
But you see Sammy playing with that little plane or whatever spaceship outside the Impala, and he's just like, I can't leave Sammy with that son of a bitch.
I know.
I gotta go back. Yeah, because who's gonna fend for Sammy? He's 12.
He probably would drop him off at Bobby's and stick him there. I think he would.
John liking Sam better than Dean.
Seriously.
Oh, I mean, yeah, if the person he relies on isn't there, I guess he would have to. Oh, no. That probably would have worked out better for everybody. Dean, no, you made the wrong choice. You should have chose your happiness. And that was so sweet. Sonny was like, I'll fight for you to stay here if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But Sammy was too cute playing with that little spaceship. He was like, I gotta go.
Brother.
I know.
Brothers forever.
Brothers forever.
Well, that is it for this time. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at HunterHost. Talk to us. Tell us if you like this. Tell us what episodes you don't like. Are you as angry as us that Dean kicked Cass out of the bunker with no explanation? Please let us know. Also, check out our ratings for every episode and see where they fall in our ranking. Again, we are your Hunter hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
We are driving off, and we will see you all next time in our rearview mirror. Bye! Bye.